Hi there, you're listening to the Move Happy Movement podcast. My name's Erin Nicole, I am your host, and I'm very excited on what this show is about. I sometimes do interviews with other thought leaders from around the world. Sometimes I do spirit-led sermons from my divine, the Holy Trinity, Father, His Son, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit, and sometimes I release music to you that I create that helps me to empower myself to find happiness from within as a person that has overcome depression and suicidal ideations after 18 years. And so I just teach you what I teach myself. And this morning I was actually woken up twice. The first time I was woken up by the Holy Spirit, he revealed some additions to me for our meeting that's going to take place in October. My husband and I are going to be reunited. He's a decorated war hero veteran, and we're going to be meeting with all the presidents of the United States of America and all the first wives. It's going to be a very big deal meeting, and my mom's going to be in the room. A few other very famous faces, and we're going to be discussing a few things, but one of the things that the Holy Spirit had added to my preparation for that this morning was helping with the HOPE Act, which is one of the reasons why all the presidents want to be in that room, because this is a way to add revenue to our nation by teaching personal and social responsibility through the HOPE Act. And the HOPE Act stands for helping offer people either employment, E or E entrepreneurship. And we've got a system that we're going to discuss with them. My husband and I were working on it last year, very excited. So that was the first time I woke up early this morning, like 2:30 in the morning, real early. Sometimes he does that. And so if you get woken up from the Holy Spirit, then you just say, how can I serve you, Lord? Get your journal out and start writing away. Get your Bible out and start reading away. So I laid back down because I was still kind of tired, and I was just woken up again. And this is a very exciting wake-up call. Every day I get closer to that meeting is so very exciting. I'm so hopeful. It's been over a year since I've seen my husband with zero contact. There's been so many people that have broken so many laws in the last few years, and I've been in this contest, this first in history contest, and I've won the global mental health ambassadorship and first ever in the United States chief spiritual officer position. They have tested me in every single way imaginable, even threatening to kill my husband and I, which was way across the line. So we're going to forgive them, but I'm definitely going to address that in the meeting. So the Holy Spirit woke me up and said the topic is going to be history maker. He whispered to me and he says, I'm going to make your name known bigger than Mother Teresa, Gandhi, all those kinds of names, because you've chosen love every time for 37 years. Get ready. You're going to be a history maker. And then I quickly remembered a song from a church I belonged to. I think they started it when I was in high school. It was called New Song. And this was birthed out of a church that I had gone to under the direction of pastors Mike and Cindy Riches, Clover Creek Bible Fellowship. This was a college-geared group to bridge the gap for high school and college students. And that's who was welcomed to their Saturday night services. They started in the church facility. And then it was really neat. They branched out and they received enough tithes and donations that they started renting out semi-truck beds. And they started traveling around like the Tacoma-Spanaway area in Washington. I don't know if they went further than that. That was too long ago. I'd have to ask other people that went. But we would go out and do community events where we'd have like concert experiences where we'd be worshiping publicly. And they called it, I think, Flatbed Ministries. It was really neat. And so the music pastor was a really cool guy. His name was Aaron Barker, and he wrote this song called History Maker. So if If you're listening to the show right now and you know Aaron Barker, please send him this episode, because I don't have a connection to him, and it would be neat for him to hear how far his song has gone, all the way to presidential security teams. And so here's what I remember. I might be changing some of the lyrics around, but keep in mind, this was probably in 2001, right when 9/11 happened. Maybe 2002, somewhere around there. Here we go. I'm gonna be a history maker in this land. I'm gonna be a speaker of truth to all mankind. And I'm gonna walk. I'm gonna run into your arms, into the arms of Christ. And of course, I would sing a lot louder, but it's 6-ish in the morning, almost 7 in the morning. And I am waiting to be reunited to my husband. And I have roommates, and my landlord just got back from her vacation, so she likes us to be quiet. So, but yeah, that's the song. So, History Maker. You could be a history maker as well. What is it? What is it that the creator of the universe has designed for you to do in this world? It doesn't have to just be one thing. I've had a life journey of exciting experiences. Most of my life has been exciting because I've chosen to identify it in that capacity. There's been some terrible, of course, things, right? We all go through terrible things. But what resilient queens and resilient kings do is they bounce back from difficulty. And the faster you can get back on your feet and move forward, that means you're strengthening your resiliency muscles. And if you're an adult that's responsible for younger people, you have children in your household, or you are a teacher or a counselor or a youth pastor or whatever, it's your job to bounce back quickly, because they're watching, they're paying attention. If you can't bounce back, that shortens the amount of hope they have for themselves. So I want to encourage you, if you're not sure what it is that you've been called to do in this finite life, get down on your knees. Get connected or reconnected to the Father above and ask. Say, Father, I know I haven't spent much time with you, but I'd like to. I'd like to get reconnected to you. This world is a crazy world. There's so many unknown things going on in the world. Father, I want to be known. I want to be known as a child of your kingdom that wasn't afraid to say your son's name, Jesus Christ, and to lead my life through loving others, through the gifts that you've designed me to give. What is it, Father, that you desire for me to do? How can I serve you today? And then listen. Listen to that still, small, quiet voice. Maybe he whispers to you, I desire for you to be the best mom or dad to your kids and to spend quality time with them, showing up at all of their sporting events and all of their musical engagements, making sure you introduce yourself to all of their friends so you know their friends' names and are a quality parent. Maybe that's what he's called you to do. I know that's what he called my mother to do. She sacrificed a majority of her income, her whole career, to be the stay-at-home mother. I'm the youngest, so before I was born, she worked at a credit union in California when my oldest sibling was born. And then they moved a couple years after that. They moved up to Washington State so we could be closer to our cousins. And even though she was the one with the college degree back then in the 70s, it was, and still is today, easier for men to make more money. women have made some changes in the industries, but that's a part of the reason why women make less money, because women are designed to be caretakers. That's how we're designed from the father. And some women choose not to do that, and that's okay. Some women, that is their calling from the Lord above. And I know my mom was being obedient. They believed that she was the one that was going to be the stay-at-home mother. And until I was 14, because I'm the baby, when I started to be in high school, then she started substitute teaching to add some money. But even still, she didn't keep that money. She kept some because she's a saver. But she used her money to pay for my flute lessons, my voice lessons. I didn't ask for anything, but when I asked for anything with music related, when teachers said that I needed to ask my parents, I was obedient to my teachers, and they said, you need to be, if you want to be the best in this group, and of course music was important to me, so I did want to be the best. So she would use her substitute pay money, and I don't know what she got back when I was 14, but I know when I subbed in that district, it was $120 a day, and then they took taxes out of it, and they did not provide you any medical coverage. But she was married, so she had medical coverage through my dad's thing. And she was offered from the first year of substitute teaching. She did such a great job that principals asked her for contracts. They offered her positions everywhere she went. I'm getting so very emotional. So very emotional. I miss my mom so much. Everything I've gone through for this contest in the last 3 years, they've blocked me from making money. They've forced me into homelessness, forced me to start my money over. And I couldn't even afford to fly and see my own mother and visit with my mother, so I've had to just be able to use the phone and call her. I can't even video chat with her because the phone that I was paying for a long time, on time, they hacked into it so many times, and nobody helped me at the FBI to fix it. And I couldn't FaceTime my mother anymore. But that's okay, because I'm going to be a history maker. And I owe a lot of that history making because my mother chose. She chose to say no to principals that offered her contracted teaching positions so she could be available to us to go to every concert, to travel to any gig, to be available to Mr. Krause if he needed assistance with vocal volunteers on the weekends so that she wouldn't have to be grading papers on the weekends. Now, she did sometimes do long-term sub positions for teachers that would go on pregnancy leave. And that was prearranged, and then she got paid a little bit more. She was supposed to get paid a little bit more. There was one bad incident, though, where they pre-planned it 9 months in advance. And she went to Michael Sandner, who's retired now. He has known my family since I was in high school in the music company. He volunteered in Seattle with us. He went to my mother and asked her to be the long-term substitute. After the 21st day, they were supposed to, consistently in the same position, they were supposed to back pay you all the way to the first day, much more money. You still didn't get medical coverage. She didn't need the medical. She needed the money. And they, on purpose, at the school district level, stole from my mother. They forced her to go to another school for one day to skip and make a loophole through the program so that she wasn't considered a long-term substitute. And what they told her was through the No Child Left Behind Act. She wasn't a highly qualified, endorsed teacher of music. But she had already done long-term sub positions in specialty roles, and she had her degree in the 70s. She was grandfathered in and was not required to have any endorsements. They lied and stole money from my mother. That's okay. There are no secrets between myself and my husband, the top-trained assassin for President Trump. He makes sure nobody steals from the poor. And my mother would never identify herself as poor because she is rich in the kingdom of God. But what Jesus said in the Bible, okay, he's sending me to a Bible verse. Ooh, I love it. I love it. Father. He said the first will be last and the last will be first. All right, where are you sending me, Father? Where are you sending me? Okay, he's sending me to chapter 14. We'll see. It says signs of the end of an age, chapter 24, verses 17, starting there. Let no one on the roof of his house go down to take anything out of the house. Let no one in the field go back to get his cloak. How dreadful it will be in those days for pregnant women and nursing mothers. Pray that your flight will not take place in winter or on the Sabbath. For then there will be great distress, unequaled from the beginning of the world until now, and never to be equaled again. If those days had not been cut short, no one would survive. But for the sake of the elect, those days will be shortened. At that time, if anyone says to you, "Look, here is the Christ," or "There he is," do not believe it. For false Christs and false prophets will appear and perform great signs and miracles and deceive even the elect, if they were possible. See, I have told you ahead of time. Keep reading, Father. Okay, he says keep reading. So if anyone tells you, "There he is, out in the desert," do not go out. Or, "Here he is, in the inner rooms," do not believe it. For as lightning that comes from the east is visible, even in the west, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. Wherever there is a carcass, there the vultures will gather. Immediately after the distress of those days, the sun will be darkened, and the moon will not give its light. The stars will fall from the sky, and the heavenly bodies will be shaken. At that time, the sign of the Son of Man will appear in the sky, and all the nations of the earth will mourn. They will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of the sky with power and great glory, and he will send his angels with a loud trumpet call, and they will gather his elect from the four winds, from one end of the heavens to the other. Now learn this lesson from the fig tree. As soon as its twigs get tender and its leaves come out, you know that summer is near. Even so, when you see all these things, you know that it is near, right at your door. I tell you the truth, this generation will certainly not pass away until all these things have happened. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. Okay, he said that is all. Wrap it up. So in a nutshell, you can be a history maker if you choose to be, if you lean into the calling that the creator of the universe has put on your life. If you're not sure what that calling is, his two number one commandments that his son Jesus Christ came on earth and told to people, that was written down in the scriptures by multiple witnesses, to love. Love the Lord with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to love your neighbor as you love yourself. So I encourage you to learn more about the Lord above all lords. And I encourage you to learn how to love yourself better so that you can love your neighbors even better, and everybody is a neighbor. If you desire to have a personal relationship with the Father above all of us, and you don't yet, I'm going to give you this opportunity right now. So whatever you're doing, stop what you're doing. This is the most important thing for the rest of your life. Close your eyes, bow your head, and repeat after me. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this gift of salvation. I can't earn it. I can't buy it. This is a gift you give to those who believe in your Son, Jesus Christ. Father, I ask you to forgive my sins. Come into my heart and never leave my side. In this I pray in your name. Amen. If you just prayed that prayer for the first time, we want to welcome you to the family. Wherever you're at in the world, get plugged into a Bible-based church. Keep God first place. And love people. Love people wherever they're at. If you see somebody struggling, if you see somebody hurting, ask them if they'd like some assistance. Ask them what's going on and see if you're able to help them. Do it. Help them. If you're a woman, right, and it's a man, and it's late at night, you might want to wait until you're with somebody else to offer some assistance, right? You have to be careful. But if someone's struggling, that's what Jesus did. He helped everybody he could. And that's why his name was known all over the world, because he chose to love everybody. And he chose to put the religious leaders that were stealing from the poor back in their place. And all the people that were misinterpreting the word, he made sure to put them back in their place, respectfully. At this time, we can't accept any donations or tithes, and you can't purchase anything from our Move Happy business, or Erin Nicole Media. So between now and October's meeting, which is less than 80 days away, I think we're at 77 days or something. Oh, so exciting. If you desire to help my family, to help this mission, we won't turn down a blessing. Father, what should I ask them? Okay, he says to call your congressman, whoever your congressman is, and let them know. Say, hey, I'm casting my vote for Erin Nicole to be the global mental health ambassador, and I'm casting my vote for her to be the chief spiritual officer. Please bring her husband home. And that's what I ask. Thank you. I appreciate you guys. Don't forget to tell someone you love them today. And we'll see you next time.